91 cases of H1N1, otherwise known as swine flu, confirmed in the United States as of this morning, according to the CDC. 51 of those here in New York City. Close to 2,500 cases suspected in Mexico, and 168 suspected deaths. Now, so far, the swine flu in the United States is still an outbreak, not a pandemic so far. But global health officials are warning that it could turn into a pandemic very soon. The virus is now in at least 10 countries. Yesterday, the WHO raised the global pandemic level from 5 to 5 out of a total of 6. So how prepared are we here in the States? A lot of our public health infrastructure and our response to outbreaks like this are at the state and local level. The government oversees it, but when you're in your community and you go to the clinic or somebody comes to take care of a pandemic or an outbreak, it's usually your local public health department and your county public health department. So how are those departments functioning? A lot of them have lost a lot of workers in this economy as states and counties shed jobs because their budgets are tight too. Well, Dr. Paul Jarrus is executive director of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. He's the guy who represents all of these state and county health departments that respond to outbreaks like this on the front lines. Dr. Jarrus, I want you to listen to something real quickly. This is from the president's news conference last night as he addressed money that he's trying to get out of Congress to help local health departments.
I've requested an immediate $1.5 billion in emergency funding from Congress to support our ability to monitor and track this virus and to build our supply of antiviral drugs and other equipment. And we will also ensure that those materials get to where they need to be as quickly as possible.
Dr. Jarrus, $1.5 billion, what is it going to go for?
Well, I think the important thing to hear the president saying is $1.5 billion immediately. We do need that money immediately to jumpstart the response. Public health community at the state, local, and federal level has been preparing for years for a pandemic. We are well prepared. We have plans. They've been exercised. They've been drilled. And right now they're being put in place across the country. But we know that as this thing escalates, which we believe it will, as we see on a day-to-day basis, that we're going to need reinforcements. We're going to need financial reinforcements to escalate the response and keep it moving vigorously. No. So what the president is saying, clearly we will need money to continue to support a public health workforce that's 24/7 at this point. We'll also need additional antivirals. We'll need additional masks, gowns, and other things to support the response and protect the public.
And now, often public health functions are the first thing to go in a bad economy or when states cut budgets. I was in the subcommittee the other day in the Senate in front of a Tom Harkin subcommittee when you testified along with Tony Fauci and CDC officials. You said that a lot of local health departments have less workers now than they did even 2-3 years ago. Is that true?
We've been looking at this very hard, in fact, cooperating with our counterparts at the local and county level. We represent the state level, and we our estimates, when we have a couple PhD researchers looking at this, that currently we have approximately 10,000, slightly more than 10,000 job losses in public health at the state and local level over the past year. And we anticipate this to continue given the state of the budgets that we're facing at the local and state level. So, yes, we have less workers than we had even a year ago.
Can the money that the president is requesting go directly to hiring and hiring skilled people?
That is our hope, our wish, and as you heard in the testimony, what we are testifying request from the Congress and the president. The president's request actually is a one-page letter to Congresswoman Pelosi, and doesn't specify precisely how the money goes. So he has left that open for Congress to determine the best way to use the money.
Okay, now, Dr. Jarrus, healthcare in this country, as I know that you know, is notoriously variable. The quality, the access varies from state to state, locality to locality. Is it the same in public health? Do we see local public health infrastructure that's really, really good in one state but really poor in another? And if so, what does that mean if H1N1 starts to spread countrywide?
Well, our goal, of course, is to assure that every American or everyone living in this country, no matter where they live, has access to public health. And just as we argue all the time that we should have universal health care benefits in this nation, we believe we should have universal public health coverage, and we hope that is part of health reform.
But is it very variable right now?
It is variable right now, and the structural variability does not necessarily mean the service varies. I'll give you an example. The first outbreaks here in California were in San Diego and Imperial County. There are local health departments in San Diego and Imperial County. There is, of course, the state health department that coordinates the local health departments. Texas, however, it was Bexar County, where there is no local health department. However, the state provides the local services there. So it's a mixed system where in 27 states, the state is both part of the some of the local care and the state care. So it's a system of overlapping systems. The important thing is that the federal, state, and local systems line up as one system.
Well, Dr. Jarvis, before I let you go, there's one thing the president said last night at his news conference that bears repeating over and over, and I want you to react to it if you'd listen to this.
Keep your hands washed. Cover your mouth when you cough. Stay home from work if you're sick, and keep your children home from school if they're sick.
You want to react to that, Dr. Jarvis?
He is absolutely right, and he gets a blue ribbon from public health. I was actually amazed at how fluent the president was on this issue last night, how well he spoke about it and well he understood it, and that's a real testament to those who are briefing him and to the president himself. Absolutely. The first person to rely upon is yourself. The people you first need to rely upon is your family. So washing your hands. If you're sneezing or coughing, do it into a Kleenex. Throw that Kleenex out and wash your hands. If you don't have a Kleenex, cough into your elbow. Frequent hand washing is very important, and you know, for at least 20 seconds. So if you have kids, as NPR reported yesterday, have them sing the alphabet as they're washing their hands. That's about 20 seconds.
All right, Dr. Jarvis. Well, the message is wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Dr. Paul Jarvis, Executive Director of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, thanks for joining us from Washington. We appreciate it. Wash your hands. Richard is here with headlines. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Todd. I already washed my hands, but
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.